Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to everybody. How are you? You come to get some food for the soul. You've been replete with everything else, but it's not satisfying the soul. Money can't buy that happiness. It won't bring you peace, not even a six pack of peace. You can't buy it. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Greetings of peace to everybody all around the globe that's tuning in to the Deen Show. My next guest, Sheikh Zia in Dallas. That's where we're at. We're guests here in Dallas, and we're bringing you our guest here on the Deen Show. Sheikh Zia, when he comes back, he's silencing the critics, because there's many people opening their mouths. They don't know nothing about Islam, and they're distorting the truth. And you know what? He got a little bit upset, and he didn't take out his sword. He took out the pen, and he wrote this book, Silencing the Critics. And we're going to be right back with Sheikh Zia to discuss this wonderful piece of work that he put together here on The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh Zia, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, great.
I was taking a class. Time is short, so I'm going to just get into it. Sheikh Omar Suleiman, you know him? Good friends with him?
Absolutely.
Had a class refuting the misconceptions about Islam. He was using your book.
I'm aware of that.
I was reading a book. It was part of the curriculum in the class, Mishkat University. I said, I got to meet this brother. I got to meet this Sheikh. It's a wonderful book. And alhamdulillah, you make dua sincerely to Allah. Look, we're doing the show now.
Alhamdulillah.
I said, every Muslim has to have this book, Silencing the Critics. What inspired you, what motivated you to write this book?
Well, basically, like you said, you hear all of these people, so-called experts on Islam, running their mouth off on various talk shows on TV, and basically saying things about Islam which were very, very frustrating to me. And out of sheer frustration, I just sat down one day and decided I'm just going to do it. And within 6 months, I had the book ready and published.
Was this like a multiple choice, either car bomb, sword, machete, or this? Or these weren't even options. It was, you know what I'm saying? Because most people think Muslims get angry and they're blowing people up. They're blowing themselves up. This is not what Islam teaches.
Absolutely not.
And you did the right thing.
Absolutely.
Because the pen sometimes is
mightier than the sword.
Mightier than the sword. Tell us a little bit, really, before we dwell into the book, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was actually born in Azad Kashmir, which is on the Pakistani side of Kashmir. At a very young age, I moved to England, and I was raised in England. Primarily, I was in London, the southern part of London, which is Croydon. People who are familiar with England are going to be aware that the Home Office and a lot of very prominent places are in Croydon. As I grew up, my family actually moved to the north of England in a place called Dewsbury, which is close to Leeds, Bradford, in an area which is called Yorkshire, West Yorkshire. And that's basically where I grew up after that, and where I did my Islamic studies. I memorized the Quran. I did the Alim course, which totaled from beginning to end, memorization of Quran until the end of my studies, approximately 12 years. After I graduated, I was an imam in England, Manchester. Everybody knows Manchester United. I was there for a year or so as an imam. And then after that, I got the opportunity to come to the States. And since 1995, or the end of 1995, I've been in the United States.
You got your PhD also?
Yes, I did my PhD at a place called the Graduate Theological Foundation, which is an institute specifically for people who are involved in religious, theological backgrounds. So you could be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever religious background you're from, you can advance your studies through the GTF, or Graduate Theological Foundation, and that's where I did my PhD.
So you wrote on a subject that you're qualified to write on. You memorized the verbatim Word of God, the Quran, which is a living miracle. For even those critics of Islam, if they come at it with a sincere heart, they'll see that, look, you know, they put it to the test. It is indeed from the Creator of the heavens and earth, and maybe they wouldn't be writing such stuff. And you have dedicated your life to learning Islam. Is that right?
Absolutely.
How do you feel when you see people such as, you know, the people that you listed in your book? You've actually listed some of the opponents, the critics of Islam. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you hear them maligning and vilifying this beautiful way of life?
Well, it's frustrating to a point that if you were to read any of the things that they say on a website, it used to keep me awake at night. That's how frustrating it was. So I made it a point not to go to these websites before going to sleep, because it was that frustrating. And the only way that I could vent my frustration was basically to write this book. And hopefully people are benefiting from it and really seeing through all of the fog and smoke that these people try to create in trying to blemish Islam.
So tell us, give us an example of some of the things that you heard and got you frustrated, and then you refuted it through the correct knowledge.
Well, something that probably all of us have heard, phrases like creeping Sharia or stealth jihad, things that people are saying, that the Muslims are coming in into the country and they're changing the system slowly to, and the objective of the Muslims is to try to implement Sharia in the whole of the US. And of course, this is nonsense, because being a minority in this country, we're less than 2% of the whole population. And being such a minority, it's impossible to impose something that 98% of the population may not want to implement in their lives. And logically, I put into the book this example that if anybody was to implement any kind of religious things into the government, the Christian right would have done that a long time ago. Christian symbolism, Christian icons, for example, the Ten Commandments. Even to this day, the Christians have a hard time trying to get plaques of the Ten Commandments or pictures of the Ten Commandments into state or federal courthouses, because there is supposed to be a distinction between church and state at the state and federal level. So therefore, if the Christians have not been able to implement anything religious, being a majority in this country, how is it that a minority of less than 2% are going to implement Sharia into a country which is largely against it? So these are the kinds of logical arguments that I put into the book. And of course, there are many, many other things like honor killings, forced marriages, FGM, which is female genital mutilation. All of these things are attributed to Islam, whereas they are mostly cultural things which come from, for example, FGM comes from mainly African countries. Honor killings, that they are not specifically linked to Islam, but other cultures also implement these kinds of things. So all the myths that are associated with Islam are basically tackled in this book.
In this book, Silencing the Critics, and we will shake. Zia, PhD, we're going to be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
But the argument here is that God, out of his love,
because in all honesty, if you really wanted to do something, you're going to find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
There are a few problems here. Why were people of generations and generations and generations being told to worship one God, ask that God for forgiveness, ask him for salvation, seek his mercy, no one else's?
So he picked up the Quran, which is the last and final testament, the last and final revelation.
Yeah. I was 16 years, 8 years inactive reserves and 8 years active duty.
But the bottom line is that I'm an ophthalmologist. I'm a specialist in cataract and refractive surgery. I'm the medical director of a major eye center.
These are not God. God is the one who created everything in this universe. That's the one I'm going to worship and prostrate to. How can you go wrong doing that?
You don't believe in him, you're out of Islam.
You cannot be a Muslim.
Top 10 reasons why Jesus cannot be God. Let's get right to it.
Cannot be God.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Back here on the Dean Show with Sheikh Zia. And tell us, do you feel, this is just, you know, what I sometimes, you know, perceive that, you know, in some of these things you follow the mode of money. Do you feel there's big business in bashing Islam?
Absolutely. I can't remember the exact statistics, but I've heard that it is a multi-million dollar industry. And included in this are so-called ex-Muslims, and which I mentioned actually in the book, a person maybe named Waleed Shubat, who claims that he used to be a terrorist, then he converted to Christianity. And these people actually, they demand speaking fees of $10,000 per appearance.
CNN just caught them out, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they've been caught out many, many times, but still, the gullible people of America, they basically buy into the whole story of being an ex-terrorist. And what they, the trick that they have is that, hey, we were on the inside and we know what's going on the inside. And so that adds more credibility to their story. That's why the masses, they accept them. And these guys are making millions off the gullibility and the naivety of the American.
I make an example. I say, hey, look over there, and I take what's in your pocket. You see, you know, distracting people from the bigger issues. So let's get them, you know, focus on this fake boogeyman that's coming to get you, Sharia and the Muslims, and people are all scared. And then bigger events that, you know, we should be talking about are lost.
And actually, I mean, if you look at what happened in France,
people
were so concerned about the niqab and the burqa. And they were trying to implement that into law. And behind their backs, a real terrorist got into a Jewish school and murdered, you know, so many people while this whole thing was going on. So instead of focusing on the more important things of actually catching terrorists, you know, people are, you know, focusing on these minor issues like the burqa and things which we deem to be very, very minor, things that we should not be focused on. And like I said, people are sneaking in through the back door and doing what they do.
Okay, let's get into the book now. Tell us, you know, give us some examples. I'm going to throw something at you, and then you can also tell me what is, you know, prevalent today, that the, one of the misconceptions, terrorism, okay? It's something that, you know, happened. It started before that. I feel that, you know, Muslims weren't looked down upon as they were after 9/11. You know, do you cover this in your book? Does Islam justify, does it condone, or does it condemn such acts as 9/11? I know I mean, it's sad that we got to keep revisiting these things, but people keep revisiting it. You cover this topic in your book. Clearly, you outline it, what Islam says, you know, what's Islam's stance. How do you cover this in your book?
Right. One of the very first chapters I actually talk about is, the title is, and the book actually, it's, the titles are in quotation marks. Why don't Muslims condemn terrorism? That's the biggest question that always comes up to all Muslims at open houses, at events, in the media, etc. So I tackle that by saying all of the places and the locations that people have condemned terrorism, all the organizations that have condemned terrorism, and I make it a point to tell the people that, you know, when people are condemning terrorism or Muslims are condemning terrorism, it's not a big thing for the media to cover because it's not glamorous, okay? It's not dramatic. So therefore, the media doesn't want to cover this. Therefore, you don't get that whole, the same imagery that you might get, for example, if somebody actually committed the terrorist attack, people that condemn it because it's not so dramatic, it's not covered by the media. So I have a whole chapter dedicated to all these organizations, all the quotations given by organizations that have condemned terrorism, and like I said, it's all outlined in the book.
All in the book. Tell us now, moving along, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We know that he came with the same message as Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the messengers of God, to worship the Creator and not his creation. Submit to God. This is what Jesus came with. He didn't come with anything different. But now, people who know very little about him, or they'll take his teachings and twist it, you know, and try to scare the people saying he was a warlord, he didn't bring peace, he was this and that. You cover this in your book. How do you address this misconception?
Well, there are a lot of things that people have written about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, this issue of what they say is taqiyya. Taqiyya is, you know, lying to people and making them think that you're telling the truth. And what these people who are against Islam, they say is that the Prophet Muhammad actually encouraged people to do that, which couldn't be further from the truth. And they quote, for example, hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he said that if I take an oath to do something and then I find something better than that, I expiate my oath, and then I expiate my oath and I break the oath and I do that thing which is better. So they quote this hadith and they say, look, here's the Prophet, he's teaching people to lie. Whereas we know that this is the situation. For example, if a person, he has said to his wife, I'm never going to talk to you in my life. I swear by Allah, I'm never going to talk to you in my life. So this is the kind of oath that a person should not be implementing. It's a bad oath to have taken. But nevertheless, it's an oath all the same. So to get out of this oath, he has to pay the expiation, which is to either feed or clothe 10 poor people, or to set a slave free, or to fast for 3 continuous days. So if he expiates for this oath, then he can break the oath. And then he's not going to be held accountable for actually breaking the oath because he's given the expiation. But what these Islamophobes say is they just quote the hadith and say that, look, here's Prophet Muhammad encouraging his followers to actually lie. So again, this is just a simple example, but there are countless examples of where they quote hadith or ayat of the Quran, which mean one thing, but when taken out of context, they basically give the impression that it has a completely different meaning.
So we are not people who have a green light to lie?
Absolutely not.
Not. No. And this is a major sin in Islam, isn't it?
Yeah. There's only one situation, for example, as the Quran says, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِمَانِ. A person puts a gun to your head and he tells you, denounce Islam. So in that situation, to save your life, you're allowed to say, okay, I denounce Islam, as long as the heart itself, it is mutma'innun bil iman. It has iman in it, and you know that in your heart, you still have iman, and by your tongue, you are basically denouncing Islam just to save your life. It is permissible to do that. And that's really the only situation.
How about if your wife cooked you some food, and she was like upset for you during the week, and now, you know, you maybe put some too much spices in the food, and
Okay, you're allowed.
She says, honey, how's it taste?
You're allowed to lie there too.
Okay.
Because that would be counted as a white lie. Uh-huh. And that's okay, because, and even the hadith say that to put somebody at ease and to make a person feel good, it is permissible for a person to lie. And this would be a classic example of that.
But now, you know, you're conveying the message of Islam and twisting the truth. I mean, that's counterproductive, because eventually they're going to find out what the truth is.
Absolutely, if we as Muslims stand up and proclaim the truth and propagate the truth, then inshallah the truth cannot be suppressed.
And I don't see what there's a lie about. The simple message of Islam is simple. Worship the Creator, not his creation, and obey God.
That's it.
On his terms. What's there to lie about that?
Absolutely.
We're going to be right back with more here with Sheikh Zia on The Deen Show.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord, and he is going to judge us.
It becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is. Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society.
Killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
Back here on The Deen Show with the author of Silencing the Critics. You did it with the pen, not with the sword. And thank you for being with us here on The Deen Show to discuss your book. At the end, you're going to let our audience know how they can get this book. All right, because I feel that is very important, that people have this book. They're going to be able to feel more comfortable. They're going to feel more comfortable being able to answer some of these false misconceptions, misrepresentations of Islam, you know, using logic and using, you know, the wonderful arguments that you bring up. So we don't have to be reactionaries and just getting emotional, and we know there's lying, so sometimes people might react the wrong way. Yeah. But we need to use our intelligence, right? That's why you wrote the book.
Absolutely.
Okay, continuing on, tell us, you go over verse. I just actually finished, I read about 80% of the book, 90% of the book. I just finished it on the plane over here, actually. The last part of the book, you go from ayah in the Quran, from verse to verse, and all the verses that are talking about, you know, combat, you, where the people will misquote them, you actually showed, okay, they take the verse, they leave what's in front, and after they don't include it, they'll quote it out of context. You know, talk to us about this.
Yeah. Basically, the one whole section of the book deals with all those Quranic verses. Basically, what I went to is one of those anti-Islamic websites, and I took every single verse that website was talking about, critical of Islam, and I took the verse, and then I took the surrounding verses before and after it, and then put the meaning in its correct context and explain to the people that what the anti-Islamic website is portraying, the violence, etc., it's not exactly what they are saying. Okay, so put into its correct context, you will find that actually what Islam is encouraging is not warfare, but it's encouraging people to lean towards peace, to lean towards treaties, to try to avoid warfare, to try to avoid fighting. And wherever there is the mention of fighting, you will find that it is usually in response to people who are attacking you first. So that's, if you go through this whole section, I believe it's like 30 or 40 verses, you will find that, you know, it's real good ammunition for a person who's ever been attacked in this way by having verses of the Quran thrown at him. You can just look them up and say, look, this is what it actually means. So the whole section in this book deals with that.
You don't have to go into it now because we're almost out of time, but just go over some highlights of the book that people get excited about, knowing that, okay, this is like, oh, I've been wondering how to answer this question, that question. You know, what are some of the things that people can look forward to reading in the book?
Okay, well, it talks about terrorism, for example. It talks about why the Prophet ﷺ had multiple wives. This thing about the Prophet ﷺ, about him marrying a young Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the arguments against it. The issue, cultural issues which people associate with Islam, like honor killings, forced marriages, the concept of dhimmitude. You know, this is a very common word used by these non-Muslims. They say that the Muslims want to turn us into dhimmis. What is the concept of a dhimmi? And what rights did a dhimmi have under an Islamic government? Okay, so what is exactly the definition of a dhimmi? Like I said, the issues related with terrorism, the verses which were quoted out of context, hadith which were quoted out of context, the accusations against the reliability of the Quran. Okay, all of the things. For example, some people, they say that the Prophet he copied the Quran from Christians or Jews, and how to deal with that. The issue of some people accusing Muslims of worshipping a moon god, where did that come from? Who actually fabricated this accusation? And the answer to that. Even from non-Muslim sources, there are people who denounce that belief that is propagated that Muslims worship some kind of moon god.
All in the book?
It's all in the book.
Okay, where can people get the book?
Well, the book is available on either the website silencingthecritics.com. You can go and purchase it directly from there. Or if you go to amazon.com, it's available. It's also available on the Kindle. So all of these three sources, you can get it from. Inshallah, very, very soon, I'm coming out with a second edition, which has more information, and it's organized in a better structured way. So that second edition will be coming out soon, and hopefully it's going to be across all forms of electronic media, for example, the Kindle, the Nook, iBooks, etc., etc. It should be on that also. So that second edition within the next couple of months should be released. If anybody wants to have multiple orders, contact me at the Islamic Center of Irving, and I can tell them how to get them at a cheaper discount, inshallah.
If Fox News, CNN, one of these big networks wants to bring you on, and they have some of these people that are listed in your book, the people that are maligning Islam, are you up for the go?
Sure, why not?
Okay, great. So 30 seconds now, 30 seconds. We got to cut out. You know, for the person that's confused, you said, you know what, I like this belief in one God, that you only worship the creator, not the creation, and that you do good, you establish your life around the commands of God, you don't follow your lusts and desires, you work to please the creator before you meet him, and all the wonderful teachings of Islam. But he's confused, you know what I mean? He's heard some of this nonsense, this phony baloney mumbo jumbo out there. What advice do you have for that person that's just a little bit, you know, confused?
My advice for that person will be to go to somebody knowledgeable, who knows about Islam and can basically answer every single question that he has one by one. And any kind of doubts that he has, they can be quashed by a person who has the true knowledge. So go to somebody knowledgeable who can answer your questions. And I'm very, very sure that any kind of doubts that you have, they will be eliminated by this knowledgeable person, inshallah.
Thank you very much for being with us here on the Deen Show. May God Almighty, the Creator Allah, reward you. Thank you so much.
Jazakallah khair.
Oh, yeah. And that was Sheikh Zia, PhD, who wrote the book, Silencing the Critics. Had him on the show. You got to get the book. It's something that you should have, and definitely you'll be able to benefit from it. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you give us a call if you have any questions that are unanswered that we didn't answer in this show. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Call us. We're here. Operators are standing by to answer your questions. And if you'd like a verbatim word of God, the verbatim word of God for free, call us. It's yours. All you got to do is ask. And you've come to the right place. Continue to tune in here to the Deen Show. We're here to help you understand, to develop a better understanding. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your creator.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.